Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
You are absolutely right in that intro. We are broadcasting live from another happy hour, but this is not just any happy hour, because the planets have aligned. We have produced for you all of the great things that we love about the Southern Arizona wine community. We are celebrating the wisdom of the Arizona wine scene in this live broadcast from the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Philip's Plaza. This is a great wine lounge, a great bottle shop, a great tasting room, and there is a love, there is a loyalty for the hardworking men and women that make the wine that we enjoy. No longer do you have to move outside of the state of Arizona to find world-class wines. We are blessed with the grape that calls the Southern Arizona soil home. Come on out and join us in this live broadcast from Arizona Wine Collective. Now listen, fellow foodies. When you're doing a show about wine, I have this celebrity co-host seat that I have to occupy every single Saturday at 5 o'clock. And these decisions are made very intentionally. And when we're talking about art, when we're talking about life, when we're talking about wine, and all of the intersections for all three of them, of course, our celebrity co-host today is from the Tucson Museum of Art. Put your hands together for the lovely Jessica Nenadic is back on the show.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for that awesome introduction. Yeah.
So much fun. Well, before we get deep into the heart of the Arizona wine story, let us raise our glasses high in celebration of the soil. I have chosen a Golden Rule Vineyards Cab Franc from the Wilcox Wine Country. What are you doing today?
I'm doing also Golden Rule, but it's a blend. I believe it's Sangiovese, Cabernet, and Syrah.
Oh,
just
beautiful.
A touch of Syrah,
well,
in there.
Cheers.
Nice blend.
I have just toasted to a level one sommelier, CSW, in the world of wine. So let me remove my microphone and take a sip.
Yes. Please do. And Cabernet Franc is an unusual grape for Arizona.
Absolutely. I'm really eager to chat with the Golden Rule Vineyards winemaker. Mark Phillips is going to be on with us a little bit later on the show. He says the Cab Franc is his favorite selection in his entire portfolio.
Yes, yes. He named it. It's like naming your favorite child. It's not always done. So it must be fantastic.
Right. Well, Golden Rule Vineyards, they were big celebrities here today. They had the Meet the Winemaker event from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock today. Pete and Jean Snell from the Arizona Wine Collective, they get together and do these kind of creative events, bringing the winemakers from across the Arizona wine country right here to the collective to really, so we can get to know them, find out the passion behind their purpose and such. And Mark was an instant celebrity the minute he walked in the door.
Absolutely, and that's so important, because these people who make the wine, who have the passion behind the soil and the grapes and the process of winemaking, there's nobody who tells a story like the winemaker.
Exactly. We're going to be hearing some stories from Mark Phillips in a few minutes. But anyway, get us caught up on what's happening. So I say,
wow.
Jessica Nenadic, your job every day is to connect art with life. And
yes.
I would imagine you're pretty busy at the Tucson Museum of Art.
We are busy at the Tucson Museum of Art. We have a brand new exciting exhibition. It's the 2018 Arizona Biennial, where we've a collection of Arizona artists on display, and it's probably one of the staff's favorite shows because it's so interesting, so eclectic, different materials, different artists, different philosophies, and it's really an exciting show to come and see. So please do make it down to see the biennial.
Beautiful.
Speaking of Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is why we're here.
Exactly.
What are you digging on the wine scene these days?
Well,
you know, it's really hard to keep up with you. I've tried. It wears me out, because wherever you go, the party follows.
Well,
are you finding anything fun on the wine scene or even on the cocktail scene these days?
You know, I'm a little removed from it lately. I do know that Arizona wine has been on the forefront. It's making its way onto more people's lists lately. The quality is fantastic. It's more affordable than ever, which
right
I think
on.
All of those things, quality, price to quality ratio, showing up on a list and having the staff of a restaurant, the servers, the bartenders, get behind the wine. That's really going to make or break any brand, but especially with Arizona, because you know what? People don't always ask for a house Arizona Syrah.
Right.
You know, blend. It just doesn't happen. So it really just depends, and it's important to know that the staff needs to be talking about it with the same enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about like 20 some odd years ago, there might have been one or two wineries here in Arizona. I've lost count how many there are. But when I talk to some of these winemakers, they tell me, look, we have the climate and the soil and the terroir that really works for other regions of the world, why wouldn't it work right here in Arizona?
Absolutely, and I think it's been, over the years, a game of trial and error. You know, people want to plant the grapes that they think are popular, but those grapes may not work. We can't always plant an avocado in the desert.
Right.
So they've tried different varietals, they tried different soil types, they tried different climates, hillsides, exposures, and I think really, at the end of the day, they're getting it right. They're finally deciding what works best in Arizona in their particular vineyards, and it's really cool.
And we win.
And yes, it's a win.
As wine enthusiasts, exactly right. Now, I know people that have listened to this show know about your passion for the bubbles. You know, you've been all about the
bubbles.
But in terms of the varietal spectrum, if Jessica Nenadic was a varietal, if there was one varietal that you believe represents you in mind, body, purpose, what would that be? What is the way to Jessica Nenadic's heart when it comes to the grape?
Well, I think I'm going to twist a little on you here, because I think that my wine style would be rosé. And only because rosé can be made from so many different grapes in so many different styles.
Love it.
Anywhere around the world. And it really is such a versatile, because rosé's got that crispness of a white wine, but it also has some of those luscious red wine flavors. And that really, I think that versatility and that yin and yang, that's what I'm all about.
I could not have done that any better at all. You know, would you imagine 20 years ago that you and I would be sitting here having a conversation about rosé as a legitimate choice on a wine list?
Okay, I used to go to sleep at night. Before I went to sleep, I'd say my prayers that somebody would pick up on rosé, because really, the wine geeks were the only ones drinking it.
Right, exactly.
And we'd go into a place and ask for a glass of rosé, and no offense to the white Zinfandel lovers of the world, and it's a very purposeful style of wine, but there's really so much space on a list for a dry, beautiful rosé of any grape variety all over the world.
Absolutely.
We're
talking to Jessica Nenadic from the Tucson Museum of Art. She is our celebrity co-host in this live broadcast from the Arizona Wine Collective. Now, there's also something that these guys are doing here regularly. It's called the Arizona Wine Challenge.
Okay.
And it's actually going on right now all night long. What they do is they focus on a specific varietal. So today they're talking Tempranillo.
Oh.
And they hide three bottles. It's a blind tasting. Inside the bags, there's an Arizona Tempranillo, there's a California Tempranillo, and there's a Spanish Tempranillo.
Wow.
And they taste through, you get to taste through the in a blind fashion and see if you can decide which is the Arizona one and which is the one your favorite. $10 gets you the tasting.
That's wonderful, because that's a test in terroir.
Exactly.
You know, because really what you're tasting in those different wines is where they're from, a sense of place. And that's the definition of terroir.
You might have to do the challenge today.
Yeah,
might have to accept the Arizona Wine Challenge, because when Pete and Gene Snell tell you to do something, it's best not to question
I'm
it.
I'm not going
to. You just got to go right in. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to shift from wine to tequila, a natural progression on a Saturday afternoon. When we talk to Gretchen Harper from the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, she's got some delicious details on the upcoming World Margarita Championship. Don't go away, fellow foodies. We'll be right back. When it comes to rustic cuisine, there's a promise and a purity that rustic stands for. And One Foothills Restaurant is putting rustic right at the center of the plate. Commoner & Co. Executive Chef Kyle Nottingham says rustic is about those dishes that take you back to a moment in time, a special place, a memory in the making, all what he calls pivotal parts of the dining experience. And Kyle's new seasonal menu is a true rustic reward, like his Southwest-inspired mac and cheese with local chorizo, house-made pasta, and a five-cheese bechamel, and his pan-seared rainbow trout with couscous and a blistered grape and herb salad. His New York strip has also become a quick hit with its fresh tomatillo salsa, as well as his shrimp gazpacho with cucumber, melon, and summer peppers. Commoner's new cocktail menu is also a celebration of the season with fresh, floral, and fragrant expressions of the spirits that we all love. Taste some summer today at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries, topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy, paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
Broadcasting live with my celebrity co-host Jessica Nenedick from the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Phillips Plaza. Come on down and take the Arizona Wine Challenge. There are three Tempranillos hidden away, blind tasting, one from Arizona, one from Spain, one from California. See if you have what it takes to decide which is which and which you like the best. Come take the Arizona Wine Challenge now at the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Phillips Plaza. Well, Jessica, we're going to our palates are going to take a little bit of a shift from Arizona wine to tequila, from All Points Jalisco and beyond, and here to tell us about the annual World Margarita Championship from the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, our very good friend Gretchen Harper is here. Gretchen, how are you?
I'm awesome.
So excited to see you.
I
gotta say, with the World Margarita Championship coming up here pretty soon, you look pretty darn good. I mean, I'd be a mess at this point right now.
Yep, there's a lot happening this week and next and the following.
Okay, so this event has been going on for a long time. I'm super excited to return to the judging panel again. My palate is doing push-ups in preparation to taste some world-class margaritas, and there are a few tickets left for this event. Get our listeners up to date on what's going on.
You got it. So, yes, this is our 13th annual
World
Margarita.
Has it been 13 years?
13 years. This is a partnership with Tucson Originals Restaurants. The format will be about 25 restaurants will come and sample their margaritas and their food for a judging panel and for the people who are attending the event to also vote on their favorites. So in addition to the food, which is a new addition this year as far as the judging goes, there will also be some interactive arts experiences that you can enjoy while you're there as well.
Fun.
There'll be live music, live painting, mural gallery. So it's August 10th, and it's going to be held at the El Conquistador Hilton. And
beautiful venue for this event,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah. What time are things getting underway?
Starts at 6 o'clock, and you can pre-purchase your ticket for $55 at our website, saca.org.
Saca.org, that's SAACA.org, happening August the 10th at 6 p.m. at the El Conquistador. Now, did you say 25 contestants are going to be suiting up for battle on the margarita side?
They are. They're all going to be local Tucson restaurants as well.
Okay.
So they're really bringing their A game.
Okay, so I'm a judge. As you know.
You are.
You just said there are 25 entries in the Margarita Championship. Are you, Gretchen Harper, telling me that I best come prepared to sample 25 margaritas?
Eat a big dinner. Small sips.
That's right.
But yes, 25 margaritas you will taste.
This segment brought to you by Uber.
Your palate doing push-ups, you better be going to boot camp, buddy.
I better be going to boot camp, seriously. So last year, you know, I love this event because people, they think margarita, and they really go, you know, big and bold. You know, you dare not put into competition a margarita that has tequila, lime juice, and a little sweetening agent. You know, that love the house margarita, but people are thinking big, bold, creative. Like, for example, last year's judge's choice winner was Fresco Pizza. And they did like a limoncello margarita, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Creativity is the name of the game. The bigger the better, the more creative the better. That's what's gonna win.
And our good friends over at the Tequila Factory at Casino del Sol, they won the People's Choice competition with like a passion flower margarita. So they're really stepping it up and thinking totally outside of the box when it comes to celebrating the spirit of the agave, but just going big and bold from that point.
You got it. The recipes will be kept secret until the day of. They don't share them with each other. It'll be a surprise for the people who attend and for the judges.
Now, are there any particular rules that the competitors have to follow? Are they all using the same kind of spirit, the same tequila? Is there a sponsor?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, we have Don Julio is the sponsor for all the tequila.
Terrific.
They're contributing that as a charitable contribution to the organization and to the event. So that will be the Blanco, and that will be used in all of the margaritas. So there are some parameters that they have to follow and a rubric that they have to stay within. So they are provided that ahead of time, and they will blow it out.
So is there a limit to the number of ingredients that the competition allows?
There is not.
Okay, so, wow.
you and I know a few mixologists in town that are really going to be stretching the boundaries.
Well, you know, a lot of the mixologists in town work in collaboration with their chefs to produce syrups and all sorts of flavors that chefs know very, very well. You know, and we're not just talking about somebody mixing behind a table. We're talking about well thought of ingredients that mix well together with the agave spirit, with a souring agent and a sweetening agent, and that's what margarita is all about.
Exactly.
Absolutely,
so much
Absolutely.
Fun. And everybody that is competing in this competition, they are representatives of Tucson Originals restaurants, local, independently owned. You know, these are the restaurants you walk in. It's not atypical to see the owner of the restaurant right there opening the door for you. That's what we want. So in other words, if you want a margarita made by Chili's, this is not the place to come.
You got it.
So, sorry, no, here come the texts.
Yeah.
From the Chili's Public Relations Department. And you said for the first time there's going to be a food competition as well.
That's correct.
So the restaurants that are participating in the margarita side are also going to be kicking it out on the cuisine side for your vote as well. Both judges' choice and people's choice with the food as well.
Yes, it really ups the ante this year.
I guess my fasting will start on Wednesday before the event. Again, make sure our listeners know exactly when it is, how they can get tickets, because folks, this is one of those events that sells out every single year, and you do not want to be that guy that Gretchen Harper has to say no to by showing up late. How can people get in tickets, and when, where is it again?
Yes, it's at the El Conquistador Hilton, and that's Friday, August 10th at 6 p.m. Tickets are $55 before the event, and they can be purchased at SACA.org. That's SAACA.org.
And how lovely to have two leaders in the Southern Arizona arts community at the same table at the same time right here. I mean, typically you guys don't travel together for national security purposes, and you're like literally right here right now. This is like, I love the synchronicity about this.
You know, it's very cool. I really do think that not only is the Arizona wine community coming together, with Arizona arts community as well. Lots of great things going on with Arizona artists, people in this community supporting the arts, celebrating the arts, and it doesn't matter what part of the arts that you support, it really just support us because,
exactly.
You know, we do a lot more than art.
It's just that spirit of collaboration in the arts
yes.
community. Support the museum, support SACA. Again, tickets, SACA.org. Tell them Gretchen Harper sent you. Gretchen, thanks so much. Looking
Thank
forward
you.
To seeing you on August the 10th.
Can't wait.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Thanks to more of our beloved sponsors. And when we come back, the man, the myth, the legend is here. The winemaker from Golden Rule Vineyards at the gateway to the Wilcox Wine Country, Mark Phillips, is with us on the other side of this break. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, summer is in full swing, which means that I'm in my pool day and night. And with all the entertaining I do, I can't afford to have a pool that doesn't sparkle. And that's why I've put my trust in Ambiance Pool Service. Locally owned and operated, Ambiance will keep your pool operating efficiently and effectively all the time. But they're so much more than weekly cleaning service. Their licensed technicians are my go-to team for equipment installation and repairs as well. In fact, they just installed a cool LED lighting system for me that keeps my pool parties going deep into the night. Put an end to that constant battle over contaminants once and for all and call Ambiance Pool Service today. 425-9186. That's 425-9186. Or swim over to AmbiancePoolService.com to learn more. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the wild mushroom and sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
On the Menu Live, it is Matt Russell, broadcasting live from the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Phil Plaza. Come on down and take advantage, step up for the Arizona Wine Challenge, and experience perhaps some surprises that will completely shock you when you taste your way through some beautiful Tempranillos. Back with us as our celebrity co-host from the Tucson Museum of Art, Jessica Nenadic, raising our glasses high, celebrating the wisdom of the Arizona wine scene.
It's fantastic. It's very exciting. I really think that it's coming into its own. And really, people should look for them on lists at your favorite restaurants and ask for it.
I'll say. Absolutely.
Ask for it.
And what I love about the concept that the Snell family has created here at the Arizona Wine Collective is it's always like one-stop shopping. You can transport your palate statewide without leaving your bar stool at the Arizona Wine Collective. And here to tell us exactly how this all came together and how he has created this Meet the Winemaker event is the proprietor, or half of the team anyway. We'll meet the other half. Some have said the better half of the team from the Arizona Wine Collective. Our good friend Pete Snell is in the house. Pete, what's happening, brother?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I mean, I can't. This is such the perfect setting for wine enthusiasts. I mean, I feel like I'm in the wine country, and I'm at River and Campbell, for crying out loud.
That was the idea. Absolutely. And you're right. She is the better half, by the way.
So we're going to be chatting a little bit about the concept here when we can kind of slow down in the second half of the show. But one of the things that you guys do, which I think is totally cool, is, you know, people hear about the Arizona wine story and the Arizona wine experience, but you guys have put together this series of events where you invite the winemakers, you bring them from the vineyards, park them right here at the collective, and introduce the community to them. And I'm literally raising my glass and I'm having a wine right now with the guy who made the stuff, Meet the Winemaker event.
It doesn't get any better than that, and we feel very fortunate that the winemakers are willing to, especially this time of year, they're in the middle of harvest. A lot
Seriously?
Of them are also bottling at this time. And they're, I mean, I know Mark got up this morning and
4:30.
4:30, and, you know, he worked the harvest, and now he's here.
So how often are you doing these Meet the Winemaker events? Kind of a series, an ongoing?
Well, we get winemakers in about once a month.
Okay.
We're expecting a little bit of a dry spell coming up. We probably won't see another one in here until sometime in October.
Not after. A real winemaker.
So he's throwing it down.
We have some lined up, but they need to get through their harvest and their bottling and everything else they've got
sure.
On their docket. So, but it's great. I mean, Gene and I have done a lot of wine tasting in our days, and there's nothing better than being in an environment, a small winery, whatever you want to call it, where you get to actually meet the winemaker.
And you put the word out that that Mark and his team from Golden Rule Vineyards in Wilcox, they were the winemakers in residence today. Boy, this community turned out this afternoon for you guys and for Mark.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, everything Golden Rule makes is, pardon the pun, golden. But it's true. I mean, we like a lot of the Arizona wine. We're certainly picking and choosing the things that we think are going to do really well and showcase Arizona in the best light. And I'm not just saying this because Golden Rule's here today, but
right.
pretty much anything in their catalog is exceptional.
Well,
and
what a
we
great,
do really well with it.
What a great segue, because yep. Our next guest, he does a lot of picking and choosing for a living. That's when he finds the grapes that are good enough for us, because do unto others as you would have done unto you. Here he is, the winemaker from Golden Rule Vineyards, the gateway to the Wilcox wine country, nestled near the eastern edge of the Gunnison Hills, high atop the northern tip of the Dragoon Mountains. Mr. Mark Phillips is here. Winemaker Mark, how are you, brother?
I'm good. What an introduction.
I tell you what, so excited to meet you. Let me just do a little clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
I am privileged to be tasting the wine, the Cab Franc, from Golden Rule Vineyards that you say is your favorite.
It is indeed.
Why is it your favorite?
I've always been partial to Cab Francs in general, and I just, you know, approach everything with an open mind, and I wouldn't have thought that Cab Franc would have done well here in Arizona. It tends to be a more cool climate varietal, but it wowed me the first time I had it. And I think it's kind of been my favorite ever since.
Beautiful. So get us current on what's going on there at the winery and in a Golden Rule. As I said, the gateway to the Wilcox Wine Country. You have some spectacular elements to work with out there. What's making headlines out there, Wilcox?
Well, I mean, I can just tell you what I did today, I think.
Do it.
Gives a little bit of a picture into my life. I woke up at 4:30 this morning, got to the winery, and was foot stomping some Chardonnay at about 5:30 before I started setting up some equipment, pressing for the last few hours, cleaning up, then heading out here. So, you know, a day is never done for a winemaker, I must say. And this one has been a long one so far. But it's a pleasure to be here, so I'm excited.
So much fun. And what are your you have hours for your tasting room out there in Wilcox?
Yeah, we are open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 4, 5 most days. And by appointment as well, if you show up. If people show up and they've made the long journey out to our location, we will definitely open some wine for them.
What are you guys known for? I mean, what's the show stopping? And I know this is really the impossible question,
that
but
is,
when people think about Gold Rule in the glass, what is the one wine that you think best represents who you are as a winemaker and what Golden Rule stands for in this community?
You know, I think the best one is, maybe not the best one, but the one I'm best known for is probably the Blacklisted, and that's our Bordeaux-style blend, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, Cab Franc, and Petit Verdot. And that one, it tends to win a lot of awards, and it's very well-received among the public, and has a great story, too, if you mind me delving into it a little bit.
Sure.
Originally, this wine was called the Black Diamond, but about a month after we released that wine, we got a cease and desist order from Francis Ford Coppola. And he said, you cannot use the word diamond in any way, shape, or form. So instead of, you know, balking at that, we just kind of changed course and leaned into it. We called it the Blacklisted,
yes,
the replacement wine,
and
with a kind of a Hollywood Blacklisted theme.
It's that famous Mark Phillips, lean in, change the world. Anyway, we got to do a quick news break. Mark Phillips from Golden Rule Vineyards. Go out and see him. Tell him you heard him on the radio. Experience what this community is raving about out there in Wilcox. Mark Phillips, Golden Rule Vineyards, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Hi, you're welcome.
We're going to take a quick news break. Thanks to our sponsors. When we come back, the Snells are in the house. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't be scared.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com. Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I am so excited to announce the next in our series of global culinary and cocktail adventures, and you're invited! In October of 2019, we'll be heading to the Amalfi Coast and the Greek Isles on The Edge, Celebrity Cruise's newest ship, with nearly 30 unique restaurants and bars on board. We'll set sail from Rome, hitting some of the regions of the world known for their Epicurean excellence, including Sicily and Naples, Athens and Olympia, and a host of other delicious destinations on this 11-night adventure. We'll also enjoy exclusive excursions that have been meticulously created just for our group by our partners at Bon Voyage Travel, including a day of food and wine on the island of Malta, as well as a private tour and tasting at an ouzo distillery in Greece. We'll get a behind-the-scenes look at how their national spirit is made before we head to some local olive groves to immerse ourselves in premium olive oil. And we've added some exciting events on board as well, from our wine tasting kickoff to a private world mixology session. Let the countdown commence for the food and beverage trip of a lifetime and reserve your cabin while it's still available. Go to onthemenulive.com and click on the cruise link to learn more. That's onthemenulive.com and click on the cruise link. Bon voyage!
we are back at the Arizona Wine Collective with our good friends Pete and Gene Snell are back with us. Hey, guys. So, Gene Snell, here you are in all of your magnificence. We were
drinking the pink.
We were chatting with Pete a little bit earlier. I said, the other half of the Snell family is going to be joining us. He said, the better half of the Snell family.
I think you said that.
I got to say, so I guess.
I just agreed.
I guess I'm going to ask Sam back in the studio if he can hear Jean, because I can only hear her here. I don't know that I can hear her through the mics. And Sam will come back on my headset and tell
Hello. Me
whether or not I can hear. I can hear.
How much more do you do? Can you hear me now?
Good, I can hear you now.
Okay,
so give us an idea. So here you guys are. Here the Snells are, like uber successful in the corporate world. And what made it? What inspired the decision to leave that kind of corporate America behind and open up a wine store in Southern Arizona?
Sometimes it's just time to do what you want to do and not have to be a slave to the man, if I can say that literally. It's sometimes you just have to follow your passion and believe in something that's really important. And we love wine. We love wine not only because we like to drink it, but we think it's a great entertainment. It's amazing art. Each and every wine is an art piece in and of itself. And so we discovered that people in Arizona, especially in Tucson, were not experiencing the art of Arizona wine. And so we cooked up an idea to see how much we can get, how fun can we make Arizona wine, how fun can we make wine tasting, and how many people can we get turned on to it. And that was really what our idea is.
And it doesn't require a lot of work to get people interested in embracing the Arizona wine story. I mean, look, 25 years ago, maybe, right? I mean, but let's just give a props to the pioneers in the Arizona wine community.
Absolutely.
That really had the courage to do something when a lot of people in the industry thought was undoable and unthinkable. And now we've got this thriving community, and Arizona Wine Collective stands as a symbol of what Arizona wine is. We couldn't have done this decades ago.
No, absolutely not. Probably not even five or 6 years ago.
No, probably
really?
Not.
Yeah. So, Pete, I got to ask you. So, Gene tells this wonderful, poetic, loving story about how you guys are doing what you love to do, but whose idea really was it? I mean, what was the venue for? One of you had to look at the other and say, selling athletic footwear is great. But I want to do something else, something different, something new, something fresh, and I want to sell wine, and I want to give an homage to the Arizona winemakers.
Well, we seem to make our hobbies our passion, our business, which sometimes is a great way to kill your hobby or your passion. So we had two running stores in Tucson for a long time, and that was our passion, and we think we did a great thing with it.
Sure did.
But we were ready to move on and try something different. We didn't know what that was going to be. And you're talking about the pioneers in the wine industry. One of those, really, the current king of the throne, I would say, is Ken Callaghan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
one of the heroes.
Definitely one of the heroes, and somebody who's helped a lot of the other winemakers. I think Mark could attest to that.
Yeah, I see Mark nodding enthusiastically.
Yes, you can't
over
see
that.
That over here.
I mean, would this generation of winemaker kind of look at Kent and say, look, this is a guy that is one of the hardest working people on the planet.
Absolutely.
And he really has given us hope that what we are doing is right.
We stand on his shoulders.
Yep, absolutely. Aww. So Kent is a great friend of ours, and in our break that we took after we sold our last business, I went down, and Gene as well, and worked at the vineyard, and really mostly in the tasting room and in the winery, and that's where this whole idea came from. So I was just down there because I was interested in learning more. I didn't want to become a winemaker, but I wanted to know more about wine, and I figured Kent was the guy. So I followed him around all day and asked him annoying questions, and he tolerated me, and then I worked the tasting room, and the tasting room was really where this idea gelled, because everyone that came in there had the exact same question: where can we get this wine?
It's amazing. We want to be able to continue to drink this wine. Where can we get it? And it was clear that there wasn't anywhere in town. We weren't getting it from anywhere else, and so.
Well, the answer is always you get it here at the winery,
right?
And it's true with Golden Rule. Yeah. It's true with pretty much everybody else. So there's a few distributed wines, but it's very limited. And really, the restaurants are not carrying Arizona wine.
Yeah.
Very few bars are. And so we felt like, doggone it, we need to have a venue where we can bring those great Arizona wines that no one would ever see, ever taste, to Tucson.
So tell me a little bit about what corners of the state these wines are coming from. We know, because we're in southern Arizona, we know a little bit about, you know, Wilcox, Sonoyta, those types of things. Where else are grapes grown to produce wine in Arizona?
Well, the bulk of the growing is happening in Wilcox, and then secondary is Sonoyta, Elgin. There's a little bit happening. Mark, how much growth, how much production is happening in the Verde Valley?
Less than 10%.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So you have really three primary winemaking regions in the state, and that's the Sonoyta, Elgin, the Wilcox, and then the Verde Valley
up
area.
North.
And most of the wineries up north are getting their juice from Wilcox.
Okay. I just think it's fascinating because a lot of times people don't really have the experience of understanding the agriculture that happens in here, because in southern Arizona we think of ourselves as a desert. Mm-hmm. And so the agriculture that we have doesn't always come from our community. But going down to Wilcox and Sonoyta, tell us about what that looks like.
Well, it seems like a dry place, but there's actually a lot of water there, but it's all underground. And that's the difference between southern Arizona and northern Arizona. All the water up north of Phoenix basically is groundwater, and that's it. So we have easy accessibility to groundwater in order to water our different vineyards in a lot of different locations. And it gives us much more flexibility than it would give you in a place like Cottonwood, where you'd have to plant close enough to a river in order to siphon that water off. And
sure.
You know, you can't grow anything without water.
Sure, it's agriculture.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't understand it begins there.
It's farming.
Yes.
And then we go from agriculture to architecture. Mm. And again, you know, when you're having a lovely glass of wine, the setting is such a foundational part of that experience. I mean, like I said, when I sat down here the first time, I mean, I feel like I'm in the wine country. I feel the setting that you guys have created, the Arizona Wine Collective, really is about creating a space that maximizes that wine experience. So how did the ideas come together for you guys when you were planning what this space was all about?
Well, we had a really hard job of going and doing a lot of wine tasting so that we would kind of pick the atmospheres that we liked best. And we took lots of pictures, and we wanted it to be comfortable, first of all. There's padded seats. You're going to sit here, and you're going to enjoy your glass of wine. We wanted it to be, we've got, you know, lots of couches and things like that. And we wanted it to just really look like a place where you want to come back to,
right?
Not just come once and, you know, brush the dirt off your feet, but to come back and to bring your friends back and to bring your parents back. And that was really what we were trying to accomplish. So we literally stole a lot of ideas from a lot of different places and kind of put them together. But one of the things that was really important to us is that our bar, was the display. That was what was going to tell the story of Arizona wine. And so if you haven't seen any pictures, then you can see that we are really using the art that's being done by the wineries as our backdrop of what
it's like
doing.
A mosaic.
It is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun that way.
Exactly. And people ask me, so Arizona Wine Club, is it a wine shop? Yes. Is it a tasting room?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it a wine lounge? Yes. You can buy bottles. Retail, yes. It's like one-stop shopping. So you've got retail customers. You have people coming in here just to simply enjoy a couple of glasses of wine after work. That's what, you know, it's just all firing on all those cylinders.
Yep. And I mean, I think the really, really important thing to know is that if you're looking at a bottle and you're looking at a bottle of Movedra, you've never heard of it before, you're like, I'm not going to buy that bottle. If you come here, you taste it, you're like, oh my gosh, now I'm not just a Pinot fan, I'm also a Movedra fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get the opportunity to really experience it, and then you can come and buy it, and you broaden your horizons.
And not just
really
a varietal fan shift, but also a regional fan shift. People come in here, they take the Arizona Wine Challenge. You know, it's a blind tasting. You taste three. As I said today, it's Tempranillo. Taste an Arizona Tempranillo, California, and then a Spanish Tempranillo. And you get to find out which one is the Arizona one and talk about which one you like the best. When the bottles are revealed, there's no surprise that people are choosing Arizona.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah, they really are. And that happens with the Grenache Challenge and even the Malbec Challenge. Hello, we've got great Malbec
yes,
here.
Yes, we do.
And so it's been really exciting to see all that happen. And it's just a fun way to enjoy the wine. It makes it more than just sitting here and down in a glass.
What about your love story, Mr. Snell?
I love her.
Answer. Did wine play a centerpiece part in the Snell love story? And take us back to that time.
Oh, my goodness.
Here it comes. Ooh, here, hey, Gene, here it comes.
This is 35 years ago, okay, so.
It was over a lovely bottle of.
I don't know if I was old enough at that
of
point.
Of Mateus, I believe. You know, we were drinking.
You know, I think maybe our story of wine is like most people's. You know, we start, you know, you start pretty narrow in your focus. Maybe it's whites. You know, maybe it's you move into red slowly and it's Pinot. To be honest with you, frankly, a couple of our friends are here tonight. And I blame them for getting us into wine. And they have very good taste in wine. And so we got ruined really quickly. And there is a difference. But it's for us, we've always referred to wine tasting. It's been something we've been doing for a long time. We love to go to California. Yeah. And we've gone to Oregon and Washington. We've even gone to Italy. And I think Jean coined the phrase. She calls it adult Disneyland. So when we go to taste, totally. it's an exploration of the area. And no matter where we are, I mean, heck, we were in Tennessee. You know, we sought out a winery there. Most of the wine was made with California grapes,
right.
But
we love doing that when you're on the road.
Yeah, and people do love doing that, and it's huge. And so when people come to Arizona and they come to Tucson, they want to try the local flavor, and that's Arizona wine. And they want Arizona wine made with Arizona grapes. Right. They don't want, and there are some winemakers in the state who are making wine with California.
Right.
And so that's not what we're interested in.
Well, if you want to come try some Arizona wine made with Arizona grapes and experiencing everything that the Snell family and Mark Phillips have talked about, you're going to have the opportunity right now to get a $25 gift card for Arizona Wine Collective if you are the winner of our trivia question. Have you thought about something fun that you'd like to ask our listeners today?
Absolutely.
Fire away.
Well, I think the best, greatest question is how many wineries are there in the state of Arizona?
Oh, my gosh. Great question. How many wineries are there in the state of Arizona?
And so we could do a range.
Or we'll just say the closest one without going over. We'll win. What we do is we take all the correct answers and we do a drawing of all the right ones. If there is no right answer, then we're going to get the one that's closest to it without going over. How many wineries are there in the state of Arizona? If you think you know the answer to the question, send me a note right now on themenulive@gmail.com. onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Thanks for our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to wrap up and hear about something that the Snells have in mind about bringing the Arizona wine story to you in your home. And they'd love you to come and experience it here, but you can be a part of a special club. And we have all the information coming up in this live broadcast from the Arizona Wine Collective. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, friends. You've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
On the Menu Live, it is Matt Russell and our celebrity co-host from the Tucson Museum of Art, Jessica Nenevic, broadcasting live from the Arizona Wine Collective. How can people learn more about the museum online? Send them to your website.
Yes, TucsonMuseumOfArt.org, all one word, TucsonMuseumOfArt.org. Whether you're looking for current exhibitions, upcoming events, museum information, or how to become a member, which we really, really need. Please become a member of Tucson Museum of Art at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
I love it. And I tell you what, you always help me set up the segues brilliantly because you talked about membership. And there is a membership opportunity happening here at the Arizona Wine Collective. We're back here with Pete and Gene Snell and Mark Phillips with Golden Rule Vineyards in Wilcox. You guys thinking about something fun about giving people an opportunity to join this club that you have put together?
We're really excited about it. We're still trying to work out some of the details, just the mechanics of it, and trying to figure out. We want it to be smooth, so when we take our first shipment, people are getting what they want to get. But the idea is that we're sampling Arizona wine. So people who find wine that they love, they join wine clubs so that they know when they get a shipment, they trust. This is something that I know I'm going to like. I don't have to guess. This is really great. So we're going to take the best of the best of what we're finding, what people are telling us is the best, and we're going to create a wine club. So the idea is 4 times a year, you're going to get 3 different wines from 3 different wineries. You can choose from a red or a mixed.
Love it.
It's really pretty simple. You're going to either get 3 reds or you're going to get a mixture. And we're just going to make sure that it's fun and interesting, and really it's the best of the best. So we're excited about it. We don't want to compete with the wineries, and certainly we can't because they've got so much more than we have. But it's just a way to keep that rolling, right? You're going to get some more Arizona wines, maybe something you haven't seen before.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, it's a survey of the Arizona wine landscape, and you are working hard to kind of curate the selections. But I love how you said that what's going to help inspire the selections is what you're hearing from your guests, what people are talking about, what the chatter is, because that makes a big difference.
And really, I mean, ultimately, I mean, obviously we want to sell some wine, but one of our big goals, our primary goals, is to drive the traffic and business to the wineries. So they're really our partners, and the wines and the wineries that we're representing, we view them as our partners, and we want to help grow their business as well. And so, yeah, they join our wine club, but they're going to want a lot more Golden Rule, for example. Join the Golden Rule Wine Club.
There it is. And how do we do the Arizona Wine Collective Wine Club? I mean, is it open for a membership as we speak? You better staff up your call center because we have listeners that are ready to get in on this action.
We're hoping to have it live on Monday.
Okay.
We were getting through the weekend. We've got a few little glitches in it that we have to fix, but otherwise I think Monday is probably going to be a good chance. You go to our website, azwinecollective.com, and you'll be able to go and sign up right there. It's pretty easy.
azwinecollective.com. Also go to the Arizona Wine Collective, very large and growing community on Facebook. Become part of that conversation, you know, and then you might even bump into Patrick from Craven Social too, you know, one of the guys behind the digital excitement that is Arizona Wine Collective. Now, Pete Snell, I got to ask you, if you had to go home and take all of the bottles of wine out of your personal cellar, I'm sure you keep a very climate-controlled cellar in the Snell family residence. If you had to pull every single bottle out of the cellar at home, save but one, sir, what would be the one bottle of wine that you cannot live without?
Not fair.
Not going to do it.
Not fair.
Not doing it.
And by the way, Mark Phillips is sitting right here.
He's so pleading the fifth right now. He's so pleading the fifth.
There.
Oh, and his cheeks are the shade of the Cab Franc that I'm drinking now.
I'll tell you that there's, like, and I'm not just saying this because Mark is sitting here. There's nothing that Golden Rule makes that I don't absolutely love. Peak Pool, their Peak Pool Blanc is, if there's a white that I'm not going to, I can't do without, that's the last bottle, it's the Golden Rule Peak Pool. If it's a red, I'm going to tell you it's Calgon Vineyards, Arizona Graciano.
How much Peak Pool do you have back at the vineyards, Mark? Talk about staffing up your call center.
Right?
I'm thinking about 12 cases all together, so he's going to take 10 of them.
Imagine. What about Gene? Where's the way to your heart, sister?
I'm not going there.
You can't do it. All right. Well.
I'm just really not that picky. I mean, I love so many of them. So it really depends on my mood, what I'm going to eat. It just depends. And so, you know, I can't. I mean, even if I wanted to pick one, I don't think I can.
Yeah. Good, you know, easy way out. I'm not going to hold you to it.
It's cop out. It's fine.
Hours of
it's not, though. It's true. I could drink them all. That's the problem.
Hours of operation at Arizona Wine Collective. Hours of operation.
Oh, it's complicated. Go on the website.
All right, there it is.
All right.
It's way too crazy. I don't get it.
Go to the website, azwinecollective.com. All the information is there. You guys aren't going anywhere. The party is going to continue to go until deep into the night at the Arizona Wine Collective. So come on out. We're going to hang out here and have a glass of wine. Get to know this Mark Phillips guy just a little bit better. If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website on themenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it is Matt Russell and Jessica Benedict reminding you, if it is Saturday at 5, it's on the menu live. Cheers, fellow foodies. Come on down and see us at the Arizona Wine Collective.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.